So what goes on at the Rain Booth at the Hamvention? You'll get a glimpse in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another Rain Report. I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY. What goes on in the mind of a diehard DXer? We're going to find out this week as we listen to a conversation that took place in the Rain Booth at the 2016 Dayton Hamvention between Rain's founder and producer Hap Holly, KC9RP, and Chicago diehard contester Paul Gentry, K9PG. Both have known each other since Paul was 13 and held the call sign of then KA9VAK. Paul is now a bit older and somewhat worldwise than back in the mid-1980s. Here's Hap and Paul's conversation. Edited to keep the FCC happy.
You used to be an inveterate contester for years. What got you into that?
I went to college. You remember our good friend N9FZO. You introduced me to Scott.
I did?
So basically, it's your fault.
Oh, good.
All of this is your fault.
Ah.
Scott went to Western Illinois University, where I was about to attend. Scott had a roommate my second year there, 1988-89, NU9R at the time. He was a big contester, and I have no idea what a contest was, so he introduced me to contesting. We went down to a big contest station in Missouri that had all kinds of big Yagis and antennas, and Yagis and antennas, that's kind of redundant there, isn't it? Big towers, big antennas, radios, amps, that kind of got my fire lit. After I saw how fun it was, I went there probably about 10 times over the course of the next 8 months or so, 6 months, however long I was at Western. We did contests like CQ Worldwide and ARRLDX and the 160 contest and the 10-meter contest and several others. Once I left college, I started going on these contest-related trips to various places in the Caribbean, one time in South America. I went to Hong Kong twice, but my first trip outside of the U.S. was down to St. Vincent. We used the call Japan 80 Delta, and we did a multi-multi with basically small single-band antennas supported by 10-foot 2x4s on the ground, about 300-400 yards away from the shore. On the south side of the island, our view to the U.S. was obscured by a rather large mountain. But we still made 10,000 cues and got second in the world, I think.
What was it about contesting that you were so consumed with?
It's a rush. It really is a rush. You call CQ, and all of a sudden you have 300, 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 people calling you all at the same time, and you have to pick through and try to log as many as you can in the shortest amount of time. Actually, in the same amount of time. See, the one constant that everybody has in this contesting thing that we do is time. Everybody has the same amount of time, but we all have different radios, we all have different antennas, computers, skill sets. We're all working with different things, but we all have 48 hours or 24 hours, whatever the time thing is. So we have to crunch as many QSOs into that time period as we can, and that's just such a rush. For instance, in 2003, I was down in Puerto Rico. I worked 460 people in 1 hour, which at the time was a record. That only stood for about 4 months because the guy I broke the record from went back and decided that he was going to break it, so he broke it. But 460 people in 1 hour, and that equates to 8 a minute, something like that. So it's one every 8 seconds for 1 hour. Boom, 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 boom. And, you know, I've heard you on the air working people, but you're the one who calls people like me that are calling CQ and trying to work people really, really, really fast. So without people like you there calling me, you're not a serious contester. You get on and just dork around and make contacts and whatnot. And, you know, people like me who do this pretty seriously, we depend on people like you. We can't depend on all of the serious guys to work each other, or we'd be bored as hell after an hour.
But having said that, it's got to drive you crazy. You really have to exercise amazing amount of patience.
Yes.
To deal with dorks like me.
Yes, we do. So basically what happens is, you know, I'm the QRZ, K9 Papa Golf, Kilowatt, Charlie 9, Radio Pacific. And I come back and I say, KC9RP, 59123. And what I want to hear is, thank you, 597 or 5912, whatever the exchange is, you know, 59 Hap, Illinois. Sometimes we get, okay, Roger, QSL, thank you for the number 123. Please copy my 59, and my number to you is number 63174.3 squared divided by pi. which winds up being about 4.
And by that time, you're on another band.
And this is KC9 Radio Papa. Thank you. And my answer is, thanks, QRZ. You know, so literally I can sit there and work about 4 people in the time that it took for you to call me. But it's kind of hard to give those people a hard time because those are the people that we depend on. Of course, we would rather that it just be much faster back and forth, but we'll take what we can get. But if you're out there listening, all that we really want to hear is just 591-2359, name Illinois, name state, whatever. We just want to hear the exchange. We don't need the please copy, thank you for the number 123, whatever. If we copy your call sign right the first time, there's no need to send the call sign again because we already have it logged. The quicker the better is basically what it is, would be very helpful. And we do appreciate every QSO that we get, even from dorks like Hap here.
You always run into those who say, well, I'm not part of the contest.
Yes, we get that all the time.
Or I'm not sure what information do you
and
want?
I actually, you know, it's funny because I actually do that myself. There are contests virtually every single weekend, and I make a point to get on and at least try to help people out. So I will find somebody, a CQ contest, and I just say, what contest can I help you out? K9 Papa Golf. And they'll say, yes, I just need a number or, you know, your shoe size or how do you want your steak cooked? And I just say, okay, Paul, Illinois, medium well, size 10 shoe. That it? Anything else? Nope, that's it. Thanks. QRZ.
You don't mind that?
Not at all. Not at all.
Adrenaline must have something to do with it.
I'm telling you.
But how long can that run?
I'm telling you, back in my younger days, when I was skinny like Hap here, I was skinny once upon a time. Me too. And I'm still in shape. I'm in great shape. Round is a shape.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. That's
so,
right.
There you go.
You're well-rounded.
Exactly. Well-rounded. What the hell was your question? Oh, the rush. The adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't even know what the hell he asked me. The adrenaline rush, I'm telling you, there's people that can stay up for 48 hours and not even blink an eye. I have done that, but I tell you, when we get to hour number 40, 41, 42 with no sleep, I tell you, that radio is floating around the room. The monitor looks like it's crawling, and I remember this vividly. I sit there and I think, what the hell am I doing here? My God, what the hell is my problem? When that adrenaline wears off, and you don't get any sleep and you're not conditioned for it, it's tough. It's tough. 24 hours is relatively easy to do, but once you get past that, holy crap, it's tough if you're not conditioned. As we speak, the contest forum is going on. One of the things that they have talked about in the past is how to condition yourself, what to do, what to eat, how to sleep. If you get tired during the contest, do things like operate standing up. You know, do some jumping jacks or take the headphones off and run outside and run around for a little bit. Do a bunch of push-ups. Do something. Just get your blood flowing. Sometimes you can even dump some water over your head to wake you up. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do. But if you're one of these types that wants to win, because most of the time when I go out of the country, I'm not going down there to come in second place. I'm going down there to win, and we have to really condition ourselves. So we will sleep for about 12 hours before the contest. We'll try to anyway. If we sleep during the contest, we'll sleep during a time where not many people call, which is typically about 2, 3, 4 in the morning. We'll try to get a good 90-minute sleep cycle in. And that's another thing that a lot of people did some research on here is how our bodies sleep. One of the big things that we do is when we take our naps, we try to do them in 90-minute segments. Taking a 5-minute cat nap can help, but if we really want a good, solid cycle of sleep, 90 minutes. If you do it right and you have a properly balanced diet and you get a 90-minute from 3 a.m. until 4:30 a.m., you'll wake up and you'll feel like you slept for 8 hours. That really, really helps. Then the whole 90-minute thing.
You're listening to a conversation between diehard DX contester Paul Gentry, K9PG, and Hap Holly, KC9RP, a come see, come saw, fair weather contester. We'll conclude their good-natured conversation after I remind you that the Rain Report is available 24/7 on therainreport.com, on Twitter at The Rain Report, and via iTunes.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Complaints about contesters, especially the ones in Italy. Oh, did I pick on Italian?
Did you say Italy?
They're audio.
Oh, yeah.
Some of these guys just...
I'm sorry, what? I didn't quite copy that.
How did that go again? Some of these are awful. Yeah. And
oh, believe me,
and
we know.
I would love to be able to say, turn off your compressors. Or when they use the automated CQ...
Yeah, it's a lot louder.
Whenever
I do hear that, I make a point to say, turn your audio down, turn your audio down. We cannot understand you. Turn your audio down. Sometimes I am very, very persistent, and I am an ass. And I will say, look, here's how you sound. You know, you
sound like this, and you can't understand a thing you're saying.
I understand, and not to pick on the Italians, but they are well known for doing that, and a lot of Europeans are too, because nobody's actually taken the time to tell them, look, you need to have your audio settings just like this microphone is right here, maybe a tad bit louder, so it has just a little bit of punch, but when you got the whole thing that's cranked up, it's worthless, and you really feel like saying,
listen to me, you slimy little communist, if you don't turn your audio down, I will find you and gouge your eyeballs out.
But, you know, you can't really do that on the...
And along with that, of course, is some of the wide signals.
Yeah,
some of the...
yeah. You mentioned that there's new rules in effect for the CQ contests, where if your signal is deemed to be... unacceptable, wide. Same thing with CW. With CW clicks, I don't know if you're familiar with CW clicking, but it's the equivalent of just really wide, bad audio. They will be disqualified. Now they have this new technology where we can actually record an entire contest. We can record the whole spectrum from several different locations all across the planet. One thing that they do is they cross-check the logs to make sure the KC9RP worked K9PG at 1900 Zulu on 14153 or whatever. So if they see somebody who worked some kind of really super rare station at a really weird time where the band just would never be open to that, they can actually double-check the recording to see if it's legit or not. So not only do they penalize people for having bad signals, but they also penalize them for cheating. There's a very well-known world-class contester who has been suspended from entering any CQ contest. He's actually a phenomenal, phenomenal contester. But he got caught cheating. He probably would have come in first in the world and won the contest anyway. He's one of these guys that's good enough to not need to cheat to win. But a lot of the people that are way up at the top, they'll do whatever it takes to win. There's been a few other cases of very questionable conduct, whether or not the person actually operated as a single op or whether he had a buddy of his operate for him while he was sleeping. There's been some question as to whether that's happened. People take this thing that we do really, really, really seriously. I told you the people that sit down for 48 hours and all this stuff, people actually do pee into buckets because they don't want to lose their frequency. There are even some people that go so far as to use some kind of little contraption that goes around their member, and it's kind of like a catheter, but you know, I don't stick anything in there, but and it's just like connected to a tube, and the tube is connected to a bucket, so they just do their thing right in their pants pretty much, and they don't even think about it. People say they take this stuff so seriously. Me, on the other hand, I'll say, all right, I'll be back in a couple minutes, I gotta go. There are times where number one and number two are separated by only five or six QSOs. That time that you took to go actually cost you the contest. That has been known to happen.
If you have to do a two instead of one, it might make you come out two instead of one.
That's very perceptive of you, Mr. Holly.
Thank you very much.
I'm very impressed. I can't wait to see where you use that in your interview.
Whatever it is.
That's going to be phenomenal.
What was the most memorable contest experience you had outside of the U.S.?
I had two times, actually. My friend in the Chicago area, K9 Whiskey Oscar. He worked for Motorola and he was stationed in Hong Kong. He lived in a penthouse apartment overlooking the bay in Hong Kong, and he was way up high on the side of the mountain. He thought it would be a fun idea to do a multi-multi contest effort, which is having six stations on all bands at all times all day, and you can have as many operators as you want. He thought it would be a fun idea to set up a multi-multi station in his apartment using antennas on his rooftop. We're not talking an extraordinary amount of square footage here. We had one antenna on each band, I think the 160 antenna, we ran a quarter sloper from the top of the building down to the ground, and he was up on the 20th floor, so it was, you know, 200. It was just about the perfect length. Had an 80-meter vertical, a Yagi's for 20, 15, and 10. He also had two element 40, a tri-bander, and then a 20, 15-meter monobander and a 10-meter monobander. My most memorable QSO from that was a 10-meter long path opening, which means exactly the opposite time that you would think a station would normally be coming in. For instance, for the Caribbean to work Japan or China or Hong Kong, normally would be around 2300 Zulu, 2400 Zulu, 0100 Zulu, something like that on 10 meters. That's the normal time. So we're talking at 1200 Zulu, so that would be nighttime over in Hong Kong and early morning in the Caribbean. I'm calling CQ on 10 meters, and I hear this really super weak station. After several tries, I was getting little bits and pieces of it. This is on CW. I heard a P, I heard a 0, I heard a W. I couldn't copy it. I thought it was PV0W, and then it clicked, and it was Papa 40 whiskey in Aruba. And that was long path, and I guess that's a path that's relatively common in this thing that we do, so, you know, we know about it. But I was kind of new back in 1992, so I didn't really know about it. So he calls in, and I work him and log him, and the other stations, they see that I logged him, and they said, send him to 15 meters. So I sent him to 15 meters, and we worked him there, and then the following year was my first year here at Dayton. I'm walking around the Crown Plaza kind of in awe of all these contesters that I know and I've been working since I'm kind of the new kid on the block, and this one guy walks up to me, and he says, hi, I'm Papa 40 Whiskey. I'm like, holy crap, you're the guy that I did that long path QSO with back in Worldwide CW of 93 or whatever it was. And so yeah, I actually met the guy for the first time, and he's here today. Said hello to him also. We've been friends since then. That was my most memorable.
And that concludes some lighthearted conversation about contest DXing between diehard DXer Paul Gentry, K9PG, and Rain's casual contester, Hap Holly, KC9RP. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2017 Rain. All rights are reserved. Now for all those serious and occasional contesters, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, bidding you a very 73 from RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com, at The Rain Report on Twitter, and somewhere on iTunes. 73, and keep on hamming.